And what I would like to do now is invite the Samba team members, whoever wants to be tortured in the panel here, especially Jeremy and Andrew, maybe John Terpstra, Mimia and Chris and so on, for an open panel here to answer questions. Just come up here. We don't have a table. We don't have anything to stand on. I hope. Yeah, just stay here. Until all of the people come up here, I would like to thank you for coming here. One thing I would really like to mention is, again, Kurt Pfeiffer, who donated the printouts. I think the reason number is well above €400. So that makes up a nice train ticket from Frankfurt and wherever for the travel fund. Thanks for that. As I was told, there are some printouts, and many of the questions that Kurt was asked in the breaks have been answered in the CAPS how-to, so feel free to donate some money. Okay, let me just switch off this device here. What?
Hiding Andrew behind the clipboard.
So I have the microphone here in my hand, and when giving talks on Samba 3.0, the main question I would like to have the people would like to have answered is, okay, when do we have Active Directory domain control? And that's what I would like the discussion to be started with, and Jeremy is very keen on answering that. So,
well, I have something I want to talk about. This is why I brought the piece of paper over. So the thing to remember is, when you're asking when are we going to have an Active Directory domain controller, is what exactly you're asking for. So here is your LDAP backend store that's got everything in it, and here's Samba, and we're getting happier and happier in putting more and more things into that LDAP backend store. Now think about all the other stuff that you also need in that backend store. You need DNS. You need DHCP. And this information has to be coordinated. You need Kerberos. Anything else that you can think of throwing in there, Andrew? Or are we?
I'm sure the web service stuff.
WINS, I think. Yes, WINS has to. Yeah, we can, but then that's our fault. So, WINS. And everything has to be stored in there and coordinated. So, these are the things that we can do for you, but there are lots of other pieces in order to sort of merge all this into one central big back-end store. And if Chris Hurtle is still here, I'm not sure. Yes, you are. I'm sure you'll give us a lecture on the wiseness of blindly following down the Microsoft path of exactly duplicating what it is that they do. So remember, we can do this in stages. So as Andrew was saying, we don't think that Active Directory domain controller will all of a sudden it'll be, oh, here's the release of Samba that has Active Directory domain controlling. Oh, there's also NMBD as well, of course, that has to get stuff out of there. That's our fault too. So these things will happen in stages, but for the DNS pieces, the DNS security pieces, DHCP, Kerberos 5, these are pieces that are somewhat out of our control, and there are other open source software projects that have to agree on standards, formats, and basically they have to agree to kind of blindly follow the Microsoft schemas and formats. And some of them don't necessarily want to do that. And remember that the reason that you're asking, the only reason that you're asking, is because some damn fool in your purchasing organization went out and bought this on your clients. And that wants to talk to everything simultaneously. So you see, this is the thing that ties it all together. So if you got rid of that, and you ran and you ran something like that, well, first of all, these would go away. And that. And then the rest of it, you have all the pieces and you can talk to separately, and you don't need to have this big, ugly back end with everything in it. So that's the Active Directory store, at least the lecture from me. Do you want to add anything to that?
Yes, Active Directory is a conglomerate protocol that consists of many, many pieces. And these pieces are being worked on. There are people working on the and discussing the Kerberos integration with LDAP. There are people who, for example, one of the key things was the secure DNS updates using GSS-TSIG. I decoded that about 6 months ago and put out an implementation of that on my site as a separate project from SAM, but totally separate project. And now I'm in discussions with Paul Bixby and with other people about getting that into Bind, future versions of Bind. But there's lots of work to be done, integration work. One of the things from the original design of Samba was to deliberately make Samba as standalone as possible. That was really a management decision to not tie ourselves too closely to other packages, because then you get the release nightmare. You need version 203 of this with version 201 of that, unless you're on Mandrake, in which you need this alpha version of this. So to avoid that, Samba was relatively monolithic, not requiring too many external packages. We don't have that choice anymore. With Active Directory, there is just too many other large pieces for us to do it all ourselves. We don't want to implement our own version of Kerberos. We don't want to implement our own version of LDAP. That means we have to start integrating with other packages, and the logistics of that is difficult. That takes time. So that's why you need a lot of patience. It's going to come piecemeal. We're already at the point where some people have demonstrated a Samba server that a Windows 2000 client thinks is an Active Directory domain controller, and that it joins it and believes it's talking to an Active Directory domain controller, and if you choose the correct subset of operations on the client, it works. So we're at that point. But to say that you're going to suddenly be 100% is just, you're dreaming. You're going to get more and more pieces working as we solve them, and then as releases come out of Samba, you'll get more and more functionality. It's not going to be that suddenly this week we don't have ADSDC support, next week we do, because between this week and next week there is hundreds of thousands of lines of code that need to be written.
And my impression from this picture is it's probably going to be an administrative nightmare. Yeah. So getting the pieces together and...
You mean like Active Directory?
Okay, but there are questions.
I think it's missing something here. It's a group policy from Windows 2000, because when you look in the LDAP front end of Windows 2000, if you open the ACLs for the LDAP access, you can use whatever LDAP client you want. Then you will look at it and you will see that a great deal of the trash data is in there only for all the group policy things. And I don't know if someone really looked into the group policy things. It's a real mess when you don't absolutely know what you're doing. And I don't think that a normal Linux person will want that in that deep end what Microsoft does.
Are you talking about the access control lists or...
No, the group policy things.
You mean as attributes stored in Active Directory?
Yeah, right.
Okay, so it's basically something that's in the schema, but yeah.
Yeah, that type of thing is actually not... That might seem very complex from the administrator's point of view, but one of the strange things about working with these protocols is that things that are complex from the administrator's point of view are often simpler from the programmer's point of view on the wire, and that's a good example of that, because that particular thing isn't so difficult for our point of view. We're just acting as a store. LDAP is just storing things and clients are fetching it back, and we're just dumb, sitting in the middle and just saying, yes, I'll store that, I'll give it back to you when you ask for it. The things that are easy to the administrator often are hard on the wire. So something like join domain is such an easy thing to do. It's one click and you're done. But underneath, in order to make it easy to the administrator, it was very complex underneath. And so things that you might think are going to be the hard things to do, like domain policies, actually turn out to be the easier things to do from our programmer's point of view, because the fact that it's hard for you is because the effort hasn't been put in to make it easy, because they've just done it the natural programming way. Store the data, fetch the data. So it's a little bit counterintuitive. It ends up that the things that are easy for the administrator tend to be harder for us to implement. A classic example of that is a DNS secure update, this one here, where you just, as soon as you get an IP address, if you're immediately in DNS, if you're running a Windows domain server, you don't do anything, no clicking, nothing. You just boot. And it's incredibly easy for the administrator. Underneath, the packets necessary to do that are incredibly complex, involving almost all of these components chatting in a complex fashion.
If you want to end up on the MP3, you might want to take the microphone.
Right, okay. Maybe another question.
Now, I'd like to address that one. And that is, there's a lot more missing from Samba compared with Active Directory than that. For example, we don't have a software registry, which you do have in Active Directory. Through Active Directory, you enable certain applications to appear on users' desktops. We don't have a mechanism for implementing that yet.
But
again, that's an implementational... So the answer is, Richard Sharp and I are currently looking at how to implement group policy objects. What we're trying to do is to identify more clearly what protocols the client expects, what sort of questions it asks, so that we can answer them either in the same way or in a workaround way. And in time, you'll get all of that.
And as we're in Germany, please stop buying Windows desktops and buy SUSE desktops.
Okay, I have a different question about ACLs in Samba 3, because Samba 4 will be a long time. If we don't care about file system and kernel backend, it is possible, or it is not very hard to implement a complete Windows set of ACL in the Samba 3.0.
Okay, so the complete Windows ACL semantics, basically you would have to store them in a separate TDB. This is something that will almost certainly not be done for the 3.0 initial release. It might be something that gets added to the 3.0 feature stream. So you'll store them as a blob somewhere. Let's just assume that's in a TDB. The difficulty is getting the inheritance right. There are some code patches from Matt Zvinikas at Hewlett-Packard of Loveland, who I probably will be seeing next week, that make this easier. We're going to have to look at putting that in. Some of the HP Loveland code in the past has not exactly been wonderful, let's just say. I've had to work on some of it. The problem with that is, at that point, you really... essentially, you've lost the access control decision in the file system. So that would work if all you ever wanted was Windows clients accessing a file system. And that may indeed be a mode in which we make Samba to be enabled to be run. So you say, okay, if you can promise me that you will only ever access this file system through Windows, you know, we will guarantee to you that your Windows ACLs are complete and perfect. The problem is the number of situations where you can actually do that realistically are quite small. Do you want to comment on that? Because I know that...
Yeah, there are a number of models. The simplest model from our point of view is just to do the we receive it, we store it, we serve it back up. Yeah. And it's not that difficult to code in Samba, that just to accept ACLs as a blob and give them back when the client asks for them and then interpret them for file access. The problem is integrating it with the rest of the operating system. And our experience is that most users of Samba do want that when an ACL is set, they want local users, they want NFS users to obey those ACLs. And that's where things get much more difficult. Now, there are a number of schemes for doing this. As a good example is what Network Appliances does, where the last set wins, where if somebody sets an ACL from a POSIX side, then it stores a POSIX ACL and maps to Windows ACL. If it was last set from the Windows side, it stores a Windows ACL and maps to a POSIX ACL. But there are problems with that. You end up problems where somebody does something like chmod O minus G on a file, and it just blows away the whole Windows ACL, because the chmod interface in POSIX doesn't have any mechanism for saving those ACLs. You also have backup and restore issues. It's a difficult problem, and our current mapping from POSIX ACLs to NT ACLs is a best effort that we can do on top of POSIX ACLs. To go beyond that, we will need a version of Samba that is talking to the file systems via a different interface. And that's what we're aiming to do for Samba 4.
I ask because what I am looking to do is hire some programmers for summer to write support for Windows ACLs into the XFS and Linux kernel. If it will be possible to support this extension from Samba.
Yeah.
Because I'm living from selling Samba NAS boxes.
Absolutely. If you have a Linux kernel with interfaces that understand natively Windows SIDs, then we will put the extensions into Samba to store those ACLs, retrieve them, and basically then let the OS take care of it. The issues you're going to have, though, are essentially the process has to have the current SID and group SIDs attached to it. So we'll have to modify the change user IDs in Samba to become aware of SIDs. But yes, if you can provide a Linux kernel that does that, we will definitely support it.
Yeah. Yes, just expanding a little bit on the major problem with that, a lot of people say, well, we just put the ACLs into the file system. That's the simple part of the equation. Putting ACLs into the file system, although it is not very easy, it's much, much simpler than the other half of the problem, which is the equivalent of set groups, where a process under Unix is very tightly tied to having a primary user ID, a primary group ID, and a list of supplementary groups. Now, in order to interpret the ACLs in your file system, a process has to have associated with it a list of SIDs, a NT security token.
I would really recommend Keith Brown's book, Programming Windows Security. So.
Right. So, but that needs to be put not just into the file system portion. If one only had to modify in the FS directory in Linux, it would be easy. But you've got to modify throughout the whole of the operating system, any place where you're dealing with a UID or a GID, the list of groups, you have to modify it to have the possibility of having arrays of SIDs, an NT token. That's the difficult part, and that's what the LSM, the Linux Security Modules project, and the SE Linux projects have been trying to address, but it's relatively early days in those projects, and there's a lot of work to be done before it gets to the point that you can have the equivalent of a set groups call, but with an NT token.
If all you do is you leave all the user IDs and group IDs alone in the kernel, you store the SIDs in the file system.
Excuse me, but I think there are more questions.
Oh, okay.
Maybe you just talk
okay.
together.
Basically, you're reinventing parts of WinBind in the kernel. Was what I was. Yeah.
You have a roadmap there of sort of 2.3.0 from where we are here now. Could you draw a roadmap of from 2.2 dot whatever is stable to sort of right now? I'd sort of be interested in. I mean, that looks like a long road to me. So I was sort of wondering, and it sounds like this is going to be included in 3.0, and when that's done, then out it goes. So the question is there a shorter cut point?
This, you mean the Active Directory Domain Controller included in 3.0?
Yeah.
No, that's 3.0, I would be very surprised if we can be an Active Directory Domain Controller in any meaningful sense in 3.0. Jim would have to spend an awful lot of late nights between now and then. And where is he? So I think he probably wants to sleep occasionally. and I don't think we're going to get there to be a full ADS domain controller. We do what we, all we can promise that will be in 3.0 is what is currently implemented. Anything else is a bonus. And we do currently have Active Directory domain membership well implemented, well tested in the 3.0 alpha code. So that will be in. And, sorry, yeah? Yes, the I should say that different release managers have different styles. I did the very early releases of Samba. I stopped being the release manager several years ago. Probably that was a good thing. If I was still the release manager, I would have released 3.0 a couple of months ago. But people would have been complaining bitterly about how unstable it is. Right. So now Jeremy was the most recent release manager, and now Jerry is our new release manager. And it was very diplomatic of Jerry not to be able to turn up, I think, given that he's responsible for the release of 3.0.
So I work pretty closely with Jerry. And basically, as over the years, as you may have noticed, release managers have been getting more and more conservative. And the reason for that is basically, over the years, more and more people's critical business data is being stored on Samba. So if we let Andrew be the release manager these days, we would be lynched.
Quite possibly.
So essentially, the 3.0, the things that we need to fix the 3.0 are, Jerry and I are putting together a test plan, and then we need to beat all these people up to move every network that they have over to 3.0 and stop sort of putting experimental stuff in head and make them live in 3.0 on a day-to-day basis and put out more and more 3.0 alphas and so that people test with it on a day-to-day basis until we have a feature set that we think is stable. And so we have a lot of new things, we have a lot of new features, but there are areas that we know are simply not yet correct. And, you know, group mapping needs work. We know we have just about got the secure channel, the S channel code. That's a very important feature. I know it doesn't, you know, it's kind of like, oh, couldn't we just leave that out? But the whole point about putting the S channel stuff in, which was graciously taken from Elrond's tree, by the way, the other place, as they like to call it, is that, and hopefully if we modify it, you'll be able to take back the changes that we make. I know. We'll try and make the diffs as easy as possible. But that allows people to take Windows XP and above clients and put them into Samba-hosted domains without having to make any client registry changes. And that's really important, because if we don't get S-channel in, we're going back to the days where you had to run with plain text passwords and, you know, have to do registry hacks. And those days, you can't do a corporate rollout having to make registry changes on clients anymore, not seriously. So essentially 3.0 will ship when it seems safe, when it seems stable, when we can actually essentially go to sleep at night knowing that people are actually putting real data on it, and that's not quite there yet.
Yeah, I just want to make a couple of comments here as well. I've been fielding a lot of requests and a lot of postings on the Samba mailing list, and the one thing that has become really clear is that people are expecting Samba 3 to solve problems that they can already solve with Samba 2. Why is it that they cannot solve these problems with Samba 2? Because they haven't read the documentation, or they don't know where to find it. So other than the three or four key things that still need to be fixed in Samba 3 before we ship, I believe one of the most critical aspects of Samba 3, and I hope the rest of the team support that, is the release of new documentation that puts more information at your fingertips. Now, if you have some here's a pitch again. If you have some snippets, some little pearls of wisdom, some techniques that you have used to solve your problems that are not in the current how-to, it's your duty to get it to us so we can document it for others. And that will decrease our headache and our burden in having to answer users' questions, because the fewer questions we have to answer, the more time we have to put new features into Samba 3 and 4.
But the short answer is the ACL inheritance is broken, and it's all that man's fault. Kill him. Sorry. Sorry, Michael. He's been helping us with ACL inheritance, and I couldn't resist that one.
So I think any really serious questions left? So otherwise, I would like to let you out to the nice weather, which is perfectly hidden with these curtains. Yeah.
But first of all, we should say thank you very much to
Volker
for arranging this conference. And also to Zernet for setting up the facilities, and it was much better than last year. Yeah, last year was really good. It was much better than last year. You know that you're raising the bar for next year. That's all I can say.
Okay. Oh, yeah. One thing left. I'd like to thank all the speakers that came. I hope you enjoyed the conference. And I hope you will all come back next year. We will definitely have another one. And, that's about it. Thanks, and have a good trip home.